Hello and welcome to All for Animals. I'm your host, Rachel, and today we have Bikers Against Animal Cruelty on the show. This was originally going to be a shorter segment, one of the animal superstar shoutouts, and I guess we can still call it a superstar shoutout, but it's going to be a full-length episode because I just couldn't cut any of our wonderful conversation. So please join me in welcoming Jen and Greg. So I know Jennifer's role in the organization. Greg, can you explain yours a little bit?
Certainly, yeah. I am the animal welfare coordinator. So my job involves reviewing the cases that come to our attention, you know, cases of cruelty and neglect, and determining if they meet our mission and if you know, if it's a case that we can help with, and then I will pay the vet directly to assist with the medical care of those animals that we are able to help. That's part of the role. The other role is also to assist any of the rescues, primarily local rescues, with distributing food. Some of our other members will conduct food drives and collect food. I coordinate getting the food to the different rescues. And in the past, we've also had work parties. If a particular shelter is in need of some kind of repair, and we can gather a workforce together and assist with that, we will. We haven't done that in quite a while. Most of the shelters are in pretty good shape here now, fortunately. But so
good. That's fantastic. And Jennifer, would you like to explain a little bit of your role in the company, the organization? I don't know what to call it for the
sure.
listeners.
No,
as well.
We're an organization, and basically, I sort of oversee everything. And in the role, we have board members who take on specific tasks to help make everything work, and everybody sort of has their spot to fulfill. Like Greg explained his, we have several board members. And so a lot of times I handle most of the communications and things like that that come in,
okay.
Distribute sort of tasks. We, you know, have meetings monthly to see where we are as an organization, what opportunities are here. And I just kind of work with everybody on the board to assist them with whatever they may need to help their role and help us further the mission of the organization.
Okay, so it sounds like you're a bit of a Jill of all trades.
A little bit.
Yeah, awesome.
And it's good. Yeah, we're blessed to have people who really do what they need to do in their role. So it's nice.
Fantastic. So how large is your org? Oh, I'm sorry.
Downplay. She's the president, and the saying heavy hangs to head that wears the crown. Everything falls on Jennifer.
It's true. Wonderful to know. Okay.
Strong
and
shoulders.
Thank you, Greg, for letting us know. All right. You're just so humble. Can you tell me a little bit about what's the scale of your organization? Like, so you two are obviously very involved. How many employees or board members or other people are, you know, involved in this as well?
So there are about 55 active members. Most of them live in Connecticut, but we do have a few in other states. Some members who joined when they lived in Connecticut ended up moving, but they still stayed a part of the organization, which is great because, you know, it helps us get the word out in other places where we might not be heard.
Yeah, absolutely. That's fantastic.
So it's a grassroots. It started with 22 friends.
And oh, okay.
Over the years, depending on what the year brings, we've had as many as almost 100 members, but we usually hover around the 50 to 65 mark.
So small enough that it's not quite so chaotic, but large enough that you guys can get some serious stuff done.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that's fantastic.
Absolutely.
All right. So what does an average day look like for Bikers Against Animal Cruelty?
Well, for me, a lot of it is, like I said, communication, and people ask for a lot of help in different ways. So usually if it's something that I need to direct to one of our members on the board, whose job that really is primarily, mm-hmm. I'll do that. I'm in contact with just about every board member and even our regular members who are important too, about ideas they may have, things that they may have a question about, stuff they see, are we able to help? What about this opportunity? So there's a lot of that going on. And, you know, kind of right now, just keeping our, you know, social media up to date and making sure our mission and our organization and any fundraisers we have gets out there so that we're able to do what we need to do.
Well, and that social media presence, that can be a full-time job in and of itself.
It really can. I'm like, woo, and it's 24/7 all over the globe. So you never know what you're going to wake up to.
I believe it. So now can either of you guys kind of describe what sort of cases you're usually able to help with? I'm assuming it's not necessarily on an individual basis, but like more so working with the area shelters. Correct me if I'm wrong.
Certainly. So, you know, you asked like what I just kind of lead into a little bit with what does the average day look like? Now, just so you realize, we are all volunteer organizations. So, you
Wonderful.
Know, we all do have the full-time jobs. We do have some people who are involved with animal care, whether it's vet techs or animal control officers. But so, you know, my typical day is I'll look through Facebook and, you know, I'll look to see if, you know, because I'm connected to a lot of the animal rescue community to see if anybody has taken in a case or brought a case to my attention. So, you know, primarily I'll be doing that and looking to help any ways we can do fundraising, because fundraising is a challenge, and
sure.
Seeing if there's any creative ideas out there that I can share on to either Jennifer or to our events coordinator or somebody else who does the fundraising. The cases, if I identify a case, you know, somebody will post up a case of they just took in a cruelty case. And, you know, they'll have a picture of a dog or a cat that's obviously been either severely neglected or abused or abandoned. And mm-hmm. a rescue has taken them in under their wing and they need assistance paying for the medical bills. And as you can imagine, some of the medical bills can be astronomical. I don't know if you have pets, if you take them to the vet, but it's not uncommon to see, you know, $7,000, $8,000, $9,000, $10,000 bills for some mm-hmm. of these animals. You know, they often need significant surgeries or, you know, additional health care. So I'll reach out to them and I'll ask them if they do need help with the case. Sometimes they already have it fully funded. But if they don't, you know, we'll make whatever contribution we can. We only pay the vet directly. We don't make contributions to any individuals or any rescues or any organizations. We only pay the vet directly. So that way we make sure that any of our funding goes specifically for the case that we're able to help.
Exactly where you want it to go. Sure.
Exactly. You know, and it still frees up, you know, if we're able to contribute to that, it still frees up. There are other resources for other things that they need to do, whether it be feeding, housing, or, you know, just routine care of the animals that they might be housing right now. And on occasion, you know, there's several rescues that we work with who I'll get a call at 10 o'clock at Saturday night. Hey, we've got a puppy that was just thrown out of a window on route whatever in Texas. We really need help with the funding. Otherwise, you know, we can't take it in. And, you know, we'll call the vet right away and we'll make a commitment to make a payment towards that case so that the rescue can feel comfortable knowing that they have some underwriting for that case and they're able to go ahead and take on that commitment. So,
wow. Okay, so you guys are kind of like a network that's spread all throughout the country then.
We are. Yeah, we are. We help, you know, we'll help wherever there's a case. We just helped, I think, in, was it Illinois? We get a lot from Texas.
Okay.
Some of the other places, Massachusetts, New York, obviously, you know, there's obviously a lot here in Connecticut. And there has been, just to kind of speak to that, usually we do 20 to 25 cases a year we're able to assist with. And
okay.
We seem to have felt that, you know, hey, we're covering a pretty good spectrum and we're able to help a lot. But this year already, we're only in the second week of February, we've got close mm-hmm. to 20 cases already.
Oh, and wow.
This is a bad year. There's been a lot more cases this year. There seem to be a lot more abandonments, a lot more neglect. We just had 22 cats just dumped in one of our local cities here, but the person just drove off and just left them. And there was actually a posting today, somebody in another one of our towns, they have the person on video just opened the door, took their dog out, a puppy, and just drove off and left it there. So, you know, obviously those are, you know, those are not the type of cases we typically would help with, because they're, you know, I mean, there's no actual cruelty or neglect. And well, there's neglect, but there's no injuries that would require any type of medical care. But, you know, we try to do what we can to spread the word, share the word. And Jennifer may want to address our education wing too, because that's a very important part of what we do. So
truthfully, the more people that we can reach, the better off we feel that everyone will be, because there's so many facets of abuse and neglect. And oftentimes there's a huge correlation with animal abuse, with domestic violence or violence against elderly children. So, but it's not always just about a cat who was abused. Sometimes there are children in the home that are abused as well. So what we're trying to do is educate people, personal, you know, pet responsibility, pet safety, where to go if you need help. There's intentional harm, like the abuse that we see inflicted on these poor animals who have no defense. And then there's unintentional. Like, people don't know if it's really hot out and the asphalt is okay for you because you have shoes on.
Sure.
Your dog doesn't have that. So we try to help people be really responsible pet owners. We try to encourage people, if they see abuse, to report it and where to report it. So we try to help in that way a lot. And shelters and things, like Greg was saying, they're so overwhelmed. They need food. They don't have big budgets. So if we can help them with that aspect, we, you know, we try that too. But education's huge. There's just so much to know that.
Absolutely.
Try to help. Yeah.
Well, and that's kind of what my whole podcast is all about, is trying to reach animal lovers en masse and make sure that everybody knows what's what and how to best provide for their own animals and also those that are in need. So I'm thrilled to have you guys on and kind of show us another little niche of the animal world that I feel like a lot of people aren't necessarily aware of, all of the inner workings that happen kind of behind the scenes of rescues and all of the organizations that are kind of more in your face for animal welfare. And then you guys are almost like just propping them all up and kind of swooping in like superheroes to help them out as well.
Yeah, we do try. We try to facilitate help wherever we can, because ultimately it's the animals who benefit.
Sure.
So, you know, it's kind of a win all around, if you can call it a win ever. But, you know, like I said, we try to help wherever we can. If people need resources, we can direct them. If it's something we aren't doing, because our mission is pretty specific.
Sure.
We always try to help and network regardless. If we can help in whatever way, we will.
I love that. So what are some of the events and whatnot that you guys like put on to fundraise for the various organizations that you're helping?
We have our biggest one is in the summer. We call it a rally. We have different animal organizations who are invited to either showcase animals who are adoptable or what they do, because again, everybody's kind of got a little niche that where they fit into, but we all work together. So Greg deals with them a lot. So they're always invited to show up. And we have vendors who come, we have food trucks, and it's a giant day for us. We sell merchandise, we have education materials that we hand out, and all the money raised from that, you know, from admission and from vendor fees and truck fees and things like that, it's usually our biggest fundraiser of the year. That's a huge one for us. And we also show up at other people's events and we sell our merchandise. Again, always passing out education, selling merchandise, making people aware of what we do. And we have, gosh, I think 12 or 14 dates booked for almost the rest of the year where we'll be at an event so we can get the word out and sell merchandise and and
wonderful. Awesome.
We do sponsor and attend motorcycle rides too.
Wonderful.
Fundraising. Yeah.
So, got to find more of those bikers, right?
Right. Well, we got to stay true to a little bit of our roots there.
So, I love it. Well, and every niche needs some diversity as well. So seeing, the stereotypical tough guys, championing animal welfare is always wonderful to see as well.
Yeah, bunch of teddy bears.
We have a very active
road captain now who's scheduling a lot of rides for us. Not just our rides, but also we'll go and attend other people's rides as a group. We support a lot of other organizations that are outside animal type activities. Children raising money for children, raising money for other organizations that contribute to other worthy causes. We'll participate there as well, and then they participate with us. So we try to work together with as many other charitable organizations as we can.
Scratching everybody's backs. I love it.
Yeah,
that's wonderful.
Everybody works together. It's everybody tries to help each other out.
Absolutely. So can anybody tell me how did this start? I love to learn kind of the origin story. Where did this all come from?
So back in 2007, there was the Michael Vick case with the dog fighting ring.
Mm-hmm.
And a group of friends who are motorcycle enthusiasts used to get together and hang out. And one day they decided, after hearing this, that they wanted to do something that would make a significant impact on our local shelters. And so they did like food drives and supply drives, and they went to various places around Connecticut to help them fix their shelter or, drop off supplies and donations. And it kind of started right from there, like a group of people getting together, deciding to do something. And then it grew. It became a 501c3.
Mm-hmm.
And the scope of it got larger and larger. They attended more events. They put on more events to raise money, to raise awareness. And it's grown every year from there.
That's fantastic. That's the kind of snowball we want to see.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, they were dedicated. They started with, a couple of totes in somebody's car and, would show up at a place with a little table. And now we have a lot of merchandise that we keep in stock. We're more, I'd say, national as well as international. We have some people who from various places know about us, and we have a larger setup, tents, more members, more information. I mean, it's grown a lot.
Wonderful. I love that. And I feel like collecting more people and everybody along the way with the same passion, that's the best kind of growth, I feel, that you could ever get in, really any kind of organization.
It's 17 years now. So yeah, we've continued to move forward. So we're
fortunate. That's quite the legacy already.
Yeah, it's grassroots and it's stayed. So we plan on continuing strong. So.
Oh, that's fantastic. And I love that something... I actually just recently did an episode for the podcast on the whole Michael Vick case as well. And so seeing the multiple wonderful things that have come out from that case, it makes it a little bit less awful, I guess, that it happened in the first, not that makes it okay, but seeing all of the good things that everybody's seeing, this terrible thing, we're like, no, we got to make sure that this doesn't happen again. We need to do everything that we can to combat this. That's such a beautiful thing, because unfortunately, at least I'm of the mind that there's always going to be some really bad apples out there. And we just need more of the good people to kind of jump in and say, hey, knock that off and fix it.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'm sure Greg can attest, like, it's a catalyst for a lot of our members. And some of the cases that we've seen, older cases, recent cases, like, there's always a dog or a cat that sticks with you. Like,
sure.
you have that one animal and it fuels you.
Absolutely.
Yeah, definitely.
Well,
well, you
do
know,
you...
I mean, yeah, as you say, the good thing, if there was anything good to come out of that, it was the fact that it brought it out of the shadows.
Absolutely. Well, and it's, I feel like this, the Michael Vick case in particular, really did, like you said, it helped to bring it out of the shadows and show people that this kind of thing is happening way more frequently than anybody imagined, and it's right under their noses. I love
And
that.
one of the other things we didn't touch on too is we work with another group that they attend all of the abuse cases that come about in Connecticut, and we will show up too. You know, we'll politely sit in the audience as a presence, so that you know all the officials looking over the case are aware that this is being recognized, that it is being paid attention to, and they need to do the right thing to protect the rights of, you know, the animal that was victimized by whatever individual is currently on trial, and not just sweep it under the rug, that there are people watching and there are people, organizations that are bringing it out again into the light.
I love that. Not allowing any of those details to just be swept under the rug. You guys are, you're saying we're here, we're witnesses, we're not going to be quiet. That's fantastic.
Laws are slow to change. People don't know, like, police, you know, they do so much anyway, but, you know, they may not know all of the animal laws. ACOs are overwhelmed. So, and making sure, like, hey, these laws are on the books. Let's prosecute. Let's make sure these people are being held responsible for what they're doing. Because again, you know, a lot of times there's other people in that house and you don't know what's happening.
Absolutely. So. Yeah, the way I see it, if someone is capable of harming something as innocent as an animal, there really isn't anything else that you can put past them, unfortunately. So you're absolutely right. It's almost like the canary in the coal mine telling you something's very off with this particular situation. Someone needs to step in.
Yeah. It often leads to discoveries of other things. So.
Sure. Absolutely. Well, is there any kind of like, I know that you guys have quite the social media presence and everything. Are there any resources or places that you'd like to plug for my listeners to be able to find you to track down your organization?
Well, we definitely have our website, and that is www.bikersagainstanimalcruelty.org.
Okay.
You know, obviously we're on Facebook. We are on Instagram. Facebook's like our big thing. I think people are more prone there, but on our actual website, you can see a lot of information about past things that we've done. Upcoming events are on there too. You know, if we have a flyer where we're going to be next, information about how we started, cases that we've helped. So there's a little bit more detail in one spot for that, but yeah, the website's got merchandise. If people want to make a donation, they can do that there as well.
Well, perfect. I will make sure to link your website in the show notes so that it's very easy for listeners to find and follow. And I hope that you guys see some extra, just a little boost of support from that as well.
Thank you. No, it's appreciated. It all helps, every single dollar. And we, I'm sure Greg will add to this, but we don't get paid. And every dollar we raise goes toward helping animals. You know, we have
wonderful.
Fortunately, we have few overhead expenses. I mean, we still have some, but for the most part, we put all of our dollars into helping.
Thank you again to Jen and Greg for coming onto the show and giving us the opportunity to shout out such a wonderful organization. Please feel free to check out their website, www.bikersagainstanimalcruelty.org, for some of their most upcoming events. And if you are enjoying listening to our episodes, please, please, please give us a like and follow on our social media. We are All for Animals Pod on Facebook and TikTok, and All for Animals Podcast on Instagram. And if you have a story, would like to be featured on the episode, have a question, or even a suggestion, feel free to send that on in to allforanimalspodcast@gmail.com. Thank you, everybody. I'll see you next time.